We ask that the divine love will illuminate our minds, that we will always feel the presence, that divine wisdom will guide us in understanding of divine mysteries and the path of our life, that we may live in the divine oneness, the eternal Spirit of God. So, and I invite you to ask any questions. It may be something from your past or something that just came to you this week. Anything that will allow you to live fully, happily, and joyfully, and in that oneness of spirit. The question is, how to identify ego and not to be. Not to be beaten up by ego. Usually when we talk about ego, we always think ego is bad. But ego is a good thing. Because without ego, you can't even make the effort to want to achieve something. Ego is part of life. Now, ego is different from foolish pride. Because ego is what gives you the determination that encourages you to want to live your life fully, like, this is what I want out of this life. Now, foolish ego is anything that is harmful to your soul, to your spirit, that is not in harmony with the divine plan and purpose for you. And it can show up in so many ways. Ego can show up making you jealous. Ego can show up making you not fulfilled. Because no matter what comes to you, you are still not fulfilled. You still want more. And therefore, you cannot enjoy what God is giving you. Ego can bring confusion into one's life. Because your intuition is telling you, do this. But the ignorance of not knowing that intuition is Spirit of God makes you go opposite or refuses that. And when you actually look at it, it has to do with your ego. That's foolish pride. That's foolish desire. So, and the only way not to identify with it, anything that keeps you away from your happiness, anything that makes you to judge yourself or others, anything that does not allow you to see that you and God are not separated, like the song we did today, then that's the ego people are talking about. That's the foolish pride. Ego is what creates vanity. And you think you are better than others. You are beneath me. That's ego right there. Totally opposite to what the love in you, the love of God is. Ego is what creates judgment. Judging yourself, judging others. And ego is like, well, Lord, what have you done for me lately? And God said, are you kidding? If I withdraw myself, you won't even be able to think and say, what have you done for me lately? But we don't get it. So ego leads to confusion, to that ignorance. Ego and ignorance, where ego is part of ignorance. So the way to avoid it is to always celebrate your life. Celebrate your own life. It's not about what anybody says or anybody wants from you. No. What is it that you want for yourself? Are you listening to that Spirit of God in you? Because when you are listening to it, what is telling you might be different from what your families and friends and environment is telling you. We've all heard stories of when people say, oh, you cannot amount to anything, you cannot achieve this. But if you follow them without listening to yourself, now you've totally, you know, gone against the master plan of God for you. And when you look at it, that is the ignorance of the soul. That's part of the foolish pride. Because why should you listen to others? Are they better than you? No, they are not. Minister, prophet, whatever the leaders or direct, they are not better. Everyone, God has chosen a path for each one, what you must follow, and you need to follow it. Now, God will send you help. And that's why somebody who's your minister or something might be able to speak, because Spirit is telling them, go and tell my daughter, go and tell my son. No, 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 don't go that direction. But your ego say, well, I'm not listening because why? Well, I set my mind on that. And so when somebody tells any of us that you can't achieve this, don't accept that. You go back and talk to the one in you. And if that one confirms that, then you know. Otherwise, what's the point? Ego is what makes us dumb, that we think, you know, there's nothing good about us. When that presence of God is there at all times. And if humanity will just listen to that spirit, we will not be in this mess. Ego has created a lot of wars and harm to the people. Let's see, like Venezuela, that they just had election. People are saying that election is somebody else that should have been elected because they did this. But the one who was given the opportunity to be there doesn't want to leave now. That's ego right there. Steeped in ignorance because he thinks, well, he's powerful, we can do whatever he wants. Nobody knows it all. When our time is done, we should move out so that somebody else can come here and creativity, innovation, and blessings. It is foolish pride that makes men to think, oh, no woman deserves to be a CEO. Men have the capacity to know what is best for humanity. If that is so, then why are the women the ones giving birth to us? Without the female energy, the world cannot exist. That's why they call Earth Mother Earth. So it is that foolishness, that ego, that arrogance that makes, you know, anyone that impedes your growth or your expansion, you need to cast them aside. Because it is their not knowing, that ego that makes them think they are better than you. Nobody's better than you. Because as long as God lives in each and every one of us, there's no limit. Not even the sky can stop us. So the way you can know the foolish part of, let's just say, the ego that people are always talking about, anything that is contrary, that is in opposition to your spirit, to what God wants for you, that is the foolish ego. You need to run away from it. Or you ask God, Lord, strengthen me not to open the doors to the foolishness of that ego. Anything that distracts us, ask. And it's ego that makes us not know that we can just ask. You just ask spirit and you'll be pleasantly surprised how they will come true. That distraction will be eliminated. So if you are struggling with something and you want to connect, don't let that ego keep you away. All you have to do is ask. God is always present. So that's the way to know what we call foolish pride. May God save us from ego, right?
So you mentioned ego is like a good thing. I mean, the good part of it, you know, not foolish pride. It's like a real. So what is the difference between real and good ego?
You know, we talk about the will of humanity. Mm-hmm. We actually don't have a separate will from the will of God. You know, it's like baby bison. There has to be a bison before you can before baby can come out. So the will we have is from the will of God, you know. And if it's the will of God, there's nothing wrong with that. So it is that will that makes you commit that, no, I am going to achieve oneness with the Spirit, no matter what. I don't care what I have to go through. It is that will that makes you, even when the road looks so bleak, that something is moving me to do this, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to achieve it. When you are inspired to create something that will benefit humanity. Yeah, there's a struggle. They don't make it easy so that you can exercise that will of God in you. I mean, otherwise, humans will not, we will have electricity. I mean, somebody just in there and then the electricity just came. You wouldn't have airplane. You wouldn't have AI. People start, there are so many things we would not have, you know? But in spite of the difficulty, you get the inspiration, but then you ask, okay, guide me. How do I bring manifest this in the physical form? Especially if it's something nobody has done yet. Yeah. Can you imagine the person that God inspired to bring water from the river, from the stream, to think about having a pipe? And what we pump that water? I mean, we take it for granted. We forget people used to go to the river with the bucket in their head, and sometimes too heavy. Yeah. They take their clothes to go and wash them. So inspiration and the will to make that inspiration to manifest, that is God's will. That is good ego. Because it's that ego that tells you, no matter what, I'm going to fulfill that which God has called me to do. It resists any distraction, any temptation of giving up on yourself. No. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter what the difficulty is. I mean, examples all around us. Jesus and all the other prophets. It's not like life was easy for them. Yeah, they might have miraculous power, but people didn't make it easy for them. Otherwise, they won't keep sending them. Yeah. I mean, now they have something where they can now take your blood to test if you have colon cancer. Do you know how long they've been trying to do that? So the people are trying that. That's the good ego that makes them determined. No. Even though they try, it doesn't work. They keep going. I remember the story of the lady who actually helped humanity about getting the thing for COVID. When she started this in the 80s to bring, you know, initially they gave them the fund, then the fund dried up because they were not seeing the outcome of it. Even the university they were teaching, sort of, you know. So she kept going, and then she had another professor who was helping. So both of them, they kept going. Imagine they started in the 80s, and then we got the benefit in the 20s. So that determination, that divine will in them, that's what we call good ego. That's what makes them continue until they find this. Otherwise, the pharmaceutical company wouldn't have been able to quickly come up with it. And a lot more people would have died. Maybe you and I won't even be here. So ego is not a bad thing. Ego is good. Just depend on how you let it show up. Without ego, people will not be determined for civil rights, for human rights. Because the opposition to that is so great. Evil wants to ascend, and we say no. And so we ask the Spirit of God to be a bulwark, you know, against evil, against negativity. So don't dumb down your ego, the good one. When the Spirit is telling you, okay, go for it. My child, nothing can stop you. Just stay there, duke it out. And then you will achieve. And we know humans, we love to celebrate success. We forget failure. So when you are successful, everybody now knows you. Oh, we went to elementary school together. We did this, we did that. But you are not, nobody remembers. Oh, they say, oh, that's the one they used to bully, that's why, you know. Like the one who tries to kill somebody else. What makes them, what inspires them to want to take a life? That's ignorance. And the determination to do that, that's foolish ego right there.
So that would be the one will, not God's will.
That is definitely not God's will. That's human will that is tethered to foolish ego, if you want to put it that way. Because even they recognize that, even evil recognizes that is evil. But it doesn't want, it wants to manifest itself. And so that's, God's will never leads anyone to create any kind of destructive action. Why would God need human for that? That they have angels to do that. I mean, one stroke of the angel, the humanity will be gone. So what do we, why do we want to kill each other? I mean, even we blame the demons. They serve a purpose. And if we don't open our doors for them, they don't come. Because the demons represent part of the foolish ego, you know, that is against goodness of God. So when somebody is doing evil, that is not God. That is their will. That is their ignorance. And so we should not encourage that. And when we see that our door, we close the door and lock it up so that it doesn't come in. How can we use God for creative inspiration? Oh, that's a big one. Because all loving inspirations comes from God. Divine inspiration is always present. All we have to do is tune in. If you are working on something and it's not really working, even if it's for 1 second, chill out and ask God to inspire you, to show you, how can I make this work? You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's not that difficult. We always think we have to do, you know, because you recognize that God is life, God is love, and God is with you at all times. So yeah, you can use God for inspiration. There are things I've been praying for that I would like to give to humanity. And it's not me giving it to humanity, it's God. We say, God, let me be able to fulfill your master plan. Use me as a pure channel of goodness. Some people want to be used as a channel of evil, but that's not what I want. So, yeah. Always remember when you get inspiration, when something, if it's something good, always remember this is the Spirit of God in you, in your intuition, telling you to go do that. Sometimes you don't even, well, I can't speak for any of you, but there are times I'll get out of the house, go somewhere. I may not even know, it might even be something I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to Home Depot. Yeah, they just use that as a bait. Maybe I'm going to meet somebody at Home Depot that at that moment, they need that prayer. We may not even talk. Now, that's God's Spirit. That's inspiring them. Or you go to the supermarket, to the grocery store, and somebody asks you a question. And maybe because of your own experience, then you give them that question, that you answer them. Or you may be at the doctor's office, or even at the dog kennel, and somebody comes and the divine inspiration comes for you to comfort them, console them. So God is always giving us, is always inspiring us. We just need to listen. And whenever that divine inspiration comes, they say, do this. If it's something that is good, why will you hesitate? Then ask God to make you to be able to fulfill that. Never stop asking for help. Because the moment you ask, you don't even have to ask it loud. You just say it within you. the help will show up. And then you maybe you write it, or you know, look at artists when they paint. Sometimes they don't even know what the outcome will be, or they already set the outcome. And then in the process, they change things. And you will know the result of it when you see it. And we're happy to say, ah, thank you, Lord. I can't believe you did this through me, you know. Can you imagine the person that first talked about wax and created candle? Maybe some of you who were born here, you don't know about lamps, where they put the oil, they put the wick. Or if you live in a village where they don't have electricity, where you have to carry the lantern, if you are lucky, if you can even afford the lantern. Yeah. So divine inspiration is all around us. And it's up to us to listen. And you can use that inspiration to make life wonderful for yourself and for all of humanity. Because that's what God wants. We're always improving. I mean, there were times there was no internet, and there was no smartphone, you know. And they didn't even have push phones. You have to, what do they call it? Rotary dial. Sometimes I still long for that because it has its own sound. But they all serve their purpose. And that's what they're supposed to do at that time. And when the divine inspiration says, okay, now, to move to the next level, then we start getting all these things. And some of these things that we think is so magnificent now, give it a few years, it will be archaic. People say, that's how you guys lived? I don't know how long I will live on this earth. If God keeps me here where we don't even have to drive any car, we're not even talking about electric vehicles now, where you just, you know, wherever you want to go, boom, you are there. Because that's what happens in the astral world. Once you've left your body, I didn't see any gas station there. I didn't see any electric, you know, there's no Tesla. You want to go somewhere, boom, you are there. Because it stopped, you know. Talk about ultimate reality there. You want some pizza with your smoothie to go with it, it shows up. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Anyone online? If not,
I'll ask a question.
Sure.
It's probably related to what was just asked. In his books, Yogananda says that the world is a dream in the mind of God. It's kind of a common theme that Yogananda talks about. What are the implications in our everyday lives for each of us if we're inside that dream?
Well, the world is a dream in the spirit of God. Well, we're all living in that dream. Because from my experience on the other side, when one sees how they live in the astral world, that also is a dream of God. Cause that world, all a dream of God. And what it does for us is we can even use our own example when we go to sleep and we have dreams. And some of it is so potent, we actually think is the real one. Especially if they are trying to teach you that the soul never dies. When somebody is trying to kill you in that dream state, and you think, oh, they got me. Oh, my God, I'm dead. They only to wake up in this or that dream. And like, oh, I'm still here. Oh, thank you, God. What the dream state does for us here is an indication that we are not alone. That we are all connected. And that we can be the pure channel of that divine manifestation. Because the thought, from what I know, God's thought is what created everything. And that's why we have to also watch our own thought, because it's an extension of God's thought. And the examples I know in my own life is that if I keep thinking of something And I focus on over the years. It doesn't matter how long, because sometimes something won't come right in. But if it keeps coming to over the years and you keep thinking about it, eventually it shows up. And if it shows up, if it's not something you are really ready for or that is beneficial, then who do you blame for that? Then you say, oh. And that's why they say, if we want something in that dream state, we can make it happen. All you have to you just think about it. Stay with it. Feel the connection between you and God. And then it becomes the reality. The only reason we think God is so separated from us, or the other world is so separated, is because we have not totally embraced that dream state. Because in the dream state, you will find that you are actually not limited. You might go from one location to the other, and to the other, and to the other, and you know, all kinds of things will show up. And yet, you are the only connection to that. So the benefit of saying this is God's dream state is showing the connection, the universality of one soul. One soul, one God, one existence. And that when they talk about individual souls, it does not mean you are separated, you know. The individuality of soul means we're an extension of the same thing. And so in that dream state, we can be as creative and as powerful as, because we are not depending on ourselves. We are depending on that God self. Because this is the world God has dreamt. And so once we recognize that, all these things we're so unhappy about, we're thinking, oh, it's a struggle, then you won't say, it's not a struggle. It's part of our learning process. It's teaching that soul. It's elevating that soul. Every struggle, every challenge that we face in this physical realm is a tune-up, is an elevation, is an illumination, is an awakening of that soul. Because then when it's on the other side, then it totally recognizes that, then it sees the benefit of all the struggles we have. So it's a good thing to be in that dream state of God. But when we try to take ourselves away from it, then that's when we feel alone. That's when our individual will cannot really take us to where we need to be. Then that's when we feel separated. I am thy bubble, make me thirsty. I've never seen where the bubble say, hey, I don't want to have anything to do with you. How is he going to even say that? It's part of the sea. And with the power of that sea, it can rise as high, isn't it? Become the biggest wave, you know, even more than, what's the guy in Paris right now, the Eiffel Tower. So it's a good thing to be in that dream state of God, because that tells us God is in charge and we're co-creation and we can totally enjoy, you can have a blast. It's only when you're alone, that's when it dawns on you that I cannot really do this. There's an African proverb, they said, if you want to get somewhere quickly, you know, go by yourself. But if you want to enjoy the journey of, you go with someone. Because when let's say you have a bottle of water and you run out of that water, the person might share theirs. But if you're alone, guess what? You run out of water, you run, then how are you going to even, you know, then something happens. And you might think you will get there quickly. You actually won't get there because you are looking for water so that you don't collapse. So the dream state of God is a place of empowerment that allows us to fully live our life. And we should take advantage of it. If you want to know where being alone is, if you are conscious when you leave your body, before you get to the other side, then you will know what is alone. When each soul passes through the, what we call the gate of death, there's an area they pass through. Then, for few, let's say split seconds, because the dynamics of, they can feel alone until they find out actually they're not alone. Sandalf or any of them is there to guide them, to meet them. Does that answer the question?
Yes, so it sounds like you could make an analogy, like when you dream at night and you lucid dream and you can do absolutely anything you want inside your dream, right?
Right.
If the suggestion here is that that's what this is, because it's God's dream. So if we lucid dream here, then it's analogous to dreaming at night and knowing that we're dreaming.
Yes. Because in the dream state of our own individual dreams, we always feel empowered. There are things we can't even do on the physical thing that we do there. That's why we want men and women, when they say, oh, I had a dream and this person was kissing me and we were on this romantic thing. Now, when you come out of it, don't go and tell the person and say, oh, because you might get bosa on your face. Because right there, you know, there is no demarcation, you know. So, and people have done that, like, oh, I had this dream, so that means that person is interested in you. They are not interested in you. You need to find out why you had a dream like that, you know. So if you write them a letter and say, I love you as monkey love banana, and they said, no, I don't like bananas and I'm not a monkey, so what are you going to say? Then we don't get disappointed, you know. Because in the dream state, there is no limitation. We are empowered. And if we see our own personal life as that dream state, then it allows us to know that we're so empowered, we can achieve anything that God has planned for us. And we don't need to take a back seat. That nothing can limit us. And then the result is when we see it manifest, just like when you come out of the dream state and say, oh, okay, oh, that was a dream. And when what we call prophetic dreams, when they show you prophetic dreams, where it actually will show up in the physical form. It might be immediately, might be later, but it shows up. We actually encourage people that seeing a vision when you are awake, yeah, it's powerful because that's the Spirit of God. But when you have a prophetic dream, it's even more powerful, because they go into details that sometimes the vision will not go into. Because you're a captive audience, your soul knows that in that presence, and so they can get into details. This will happen. Watch out for this. This is what has happened before, and all of that, and all of that. And then when you come out of it, then you see like, oh. So this dream state allows us to live fully as that divine soul that God has created. And that's why you see some teachers or some gurus, like Jesus might show up in your dream. Because if he tries to show up in a vision, you might not even believe it. You might think you are not worth it. You might even think he's somebody else. But if he shows up in your dream and all of that, that means you are able to connect. You say there is no limitation, there is no borderline. And if you listen to it, you might be better off. But then you come out and you say, oh, I saw Jesus. People won't believe it. Yeah, right. Keep deceiving yourself. Didn't Yogananda talk about the story? The little boy said, oh, I saw Jesus. And the monks don't even believe, like, yeah, he's a child teacher. And Yogananda actually, without knowing, said, yeah, Jesus came to visit. He said, oh, now they, you know, so that's a perfect example. Don't listen to people just because they are adults or prophet or something. Listen to your, trust yourself. It's the same God. And if it is, then something will validate that. And that's what is good about the dream state. And this is God's dream. And we are here to live it the way God wants it. So why shouldn't we enjoy? Why should we crumble when we should be expansive and enjoying and celebrating it? If God is not dead, then we are not dead. We can achieve anything we want.
Not sure how to ask, but I'll just ask it. What can we do in times that we aren't in full ritual? Let's say, or we break our routine, or we don't have the energy or the motivation for our routine of waking up, meditating, praying. Because there are times that that happens. It's happened often for me. And so when that happens, I typically just pray in my bed. I'm in daily prayer, but is that okay? And what simple thing can we do? And is that okay if we don't do it? I don't know if that was a question or if that made sense.
Yeah, it's a thing that when you're on the spiritual path, you go through that. You have to be very aware and prepared to bring in the power so that you can fulfill your way. Sometimes spirit will throw us a curve so that routine, we are taken out of that routine so that we can learn something. Because once you get settled into a routine, into a ritual, that deep emotional connection, that power is no longer there. But we just do it for the sake of doing it. It's like people go to church, they go to places of meditation just because it's what, sometimes they even do it as part of the other ego we're talking about, to show, oh, I meditate and all of that. Because if it doesn't have that substance, that connection, then what's the goodness of that routine? So sometimes spirit would do that to pull you so that you can reconnect again. That don't take it for granted. If you just go and meditate and your mind is, oh, I cannot wait to go to that mall. Oh, I love those clothes. That ice cream, I can't wait to go. You are sitting there. People think you are meditating. You think you are meditating, but you know you are not meditating because you. So when it becomes just what it is, there's no substance, spirit will yank us to do that. But the other thing is what we call the world of distraction. It also teaches us once something comes, okay, oh, let me do this before I meditate. I'm speaking from my own personal experience. That is the distraction, and that is not acceptable. So when something says, okay, let me do this, I just say, that can wait. I'm going to go meditate because, look, you can't keep God waiting. Because don't forget, this is God's dream state. So you are connected. God is there. You are connected. So everything else can wait except God. So pull yourself up and go meditate and do wonderfully. And sometimes meditation is not just about sitting there, just watching your different thoughts, or no thoughts at all. Sometimes that is great when you can be in that stillness, in that silence. But sometimes in order for meditation to take place, your heart, your soul might desire prayer, where your emotions goes into that prayer. And if that's all you're able to do because it will connect you to God, then you've done your meditation. Because I remember from my own personal experience when I just went to meditate and I found out that, no, there's something missing for me. Yeah, it's fine. I can see all this, but I'm not really connecting on that emotional. No, then I need that to feed me. Then I can go into the prayers. For those who live in this ashram with me, sometimes they know, sometimes when I'm praying loud. Because that's what it deserves. And sometimes it's silent prayer. So yeah, you can pray, you can meditate in your bed and all of that. As long as you feel in the connection, there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to watch out for what we call the spirit of lethargy. You know, and you won't see it coming. It will creep up on you and you just think it's a one-time deal. No, before you know it, it's become, you know. So that's where the discernment is. There's nothing wrong if you don't want to get up from bed, you know, and you can meditate deeply. Nothing says you have to sit like a pretzel to meditate. The only reason they don't encourage meditating in bed is because people easily fall asleep. Otherwise, you can be in bed. I've been in bed where 2 hours, 3 hours, people think I'm sleeping, and I'm not. I'm meditating there. There's a lot going on. And I come out of that, I'm so refreshed, so ready to conquer the world. I mean, my world, the world of my, you know. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just we need to have that discernment. And you need to be very attentive and careful so that we realize that. When something is trying to distract you, something is trying to keep you, and before you know it, they roll it up and say, oh, I'll meditate tomorrow. Okay, amen. No, what if God says, well, I won't see you until tomorrow? Well, that means you are dead. The breath of life is given to us every nanosecond, and that is God's presence. So if you are breathing that nanosecond, every nanosecond, then you better know, you earn it to give to God. Because meditation or prayer or you know, ceremony is about rejuvenating that soul, that connection. It's welcome and celebrate that connection. That's what it is. Otherwise, nobody will be telling you to meditate. It awakens us, you know, awakens the soul. So don't let families or friends or work or keep you away from them. Even if it's for 5 minutes, you are saying, thank you, Lord, for this very moment. That's why we say, how do we stand in the very moment? This, no, it's true gratitude. When you are grateful for even the breath, because we take it for granted that we can even move our arms and all of that. Try imagine if you're in the shower, if you can't even move to scrub yourself, that you can move, that's God. You know, remember the song we do, yeah, the song we love to sing in this community is, I think it's page 14, number 28. Take my life and let it be. So he said, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Without God's love, without God's presence, it's an acknowledgement. We can't even move, you know. So if you are able to breathe, if you are yearning to eat or to celebrate something, you know that is God's presence. Then you need to give yourself to God. And all it does, by giving yourself to God in meditation, is thanksgiving. Say, thank you for this moment that I'm able to enjoy. Thank you for every purpose, every life. Thank you for the parents who helped us to be where we, because without them, we wouldn't be here. Whether they are perfect or not, they taught us something. Thank you for our friends, our siblings, our neighbors, you know, our teachers. So we need to be careful when things show up, but it's okay if you don't feel like getting up, as long as you are connecting to God. That's why Jesus told that Samaritan woman, oh, you know, I can't go to Jerusalem to, and they won't even let me go to my mountain. Where are my people? And Jesus said, what? You don't need the Jerusalem. You don't need the mountain. Because God is here. So you don't need to really get up. You know, you can meditate anywhere you want. You can be stuffing, eating, and meditating. Oh, I've done it. I'm eating and I'm tasting. I said, Lord, without you, this food won't be here. This delicious food won't be here, you know? Because gratitude is part of meditation. You just need to watch out for the trickster. Where you keep using that, okay. But and if you've dedicated a room or a place for your meditation, the reason we encourage that you should always go there because As you meditate, just like I'm saying, you are reawakening your soul. That power stays there with you. So that if anything is happening and you go in there, you can count on it, you'll be rejuvenated there. The support system will come up. And that's why we also encourage, if you have a particular outfit that you wear for meditation, because they absorb that energy. And whenever you wear it, because you become your meditation. That's the thing, you become the prayer. If your prayer is always about, oh, I'm not good enough, then don't blame God for that. But if you know positive that I can achieve anything, then you become that prayer, you become the angel, you become Jesus, you become whatever it is. So it's okay, it's one of, you know, the spiritual part is one of those things that happens. But if you are meditating deeply and consciously, then it's okay, wherever you do it. Okay, let's bring this to an end. Beloved, we thank you for your divine wisdom and truth. May we continue to absorb all there is that you've given us, the nectar of love, the nectar of understanding. And may you guide us on the path of life as we resolve to know that divine mysteries. And may we be fully empowered to continue to celebrate you on a daily basis in gratitude to the oneness of your spirit in us. In Christ's name, amen.